Welcome everybody to the Chinchilla Picking Podcast. This is about to say who we are. It is March 24th, 2024 at 4:20 p.m. As always, we hope to be entertaining, educational, and uplifting because we want everyone to make money. My name is David Underwood, and I am joined by the one and only, the incomprehensible Brandon Beaver. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Well, I could have started better, but at least I like to leave little stuff like that in there for our listeners so they know that we are human and we do not do like five takes of this. We do one take and, you know, that's what you get. Yeah, mess ups and all, right? Yeah. March Madness, it has started. I created some brackets this year. My bracket got busted pretty quickly thanks to Kentucky. And a few other teams, but my two favorite college teams made it to the tournament: San Diego State and University of Nebraska. San Diego State plays its second game tonight. Nebraska's already out, so oh well, it is what it is. March Madness, gotta love it. It's a big time. A lot of sports betting. I'm curious about the sports betting come the Olympics. I know in some of our group text conversations, Brandon, you and I are part of, I've asked that to the group. Does anybody see any positive net gains for profit with the sports betting companies, the books, if you will, due to the Olympics coming up? And everybody was pretty much in every single group discussion said, you know, no. I would not buy a book just because of the Olympics.
I mean, it depends on how global sports betting is right now and how legal it is in the rest of the world.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like in America, it's legal, and this book's online sports betting, and it's state by state, different rules. But you know, the Olympics are going to be a weird event, if you will, to have like lots of different options, because I know everybody's like, is this QB gonna throw a interception in the second quarter? Bet $5 and you could win 100. Yeah. Something stupid like that. Like, are they gonna have things like that? Like, is the U.S. gonna have a gold medal at 2 o'clock this afternoon? You know, I mean, is there gonna be stupid bets like that that are gonna happen?
Maybe I would assume that the swimming, maybe bobsledding, would be a little bit higher.
This is Summer Olympics. There's no bobsledding.
Okay, there's no bobsledding in the Summer Olympics. See, this is how this is how bad I am at this.
You're not our local sports guy for this show, are you?
No. So maybe swimming, but not like, I don't know, figure skating in it. I doubt that's going to be.
Nope, that's not in it. Sorry, buddy. You got equestrian sports such as horse dancing. You have kayaking.
Horse dancing?
Horse dancing is an Olympic sport, yes. Kayaking, you have soccer. That's in it. Basketball, it's in the Summer Olympics. Yeah, swimming and track.
How do they have horse dancing but not baseball?
You know, horse dancing is a very watch it this year in the, during the Paris Olympics. I want you to watch some horse dancing.
Okay.
I forget the name of it, but there's an actual name for the sport. Yeah, it's horse dancing. It's pretty interesting if you watch it. So,
are they like line dancing?
You just have to watch it to kind of see what it is. Just watch 2 minutes of it, and you'll get it.
Okay.
And you'll get it. You'll get it, yes. But yeah, there's lots of different sports and things that are going to go on with the Summer Olympics. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, everybody was saying they're not going to buy a book based off that. They don't think they're going to see an increase too much in sales. So everybody was pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
All right. Well,
But you do have right now, you got March Madness, you got the NBA playoffs coming up, baseball season's about to start. So
there you go. Yep. All right. Sorry about that. As always, Brandon and I get together 5 to 10 minutes before the show, and we tell each other what we're going to talk about. You hear the live back and forth, the bicker and the banter right here on the show for you. As always, Brandon, You have the first take. Go ahead, man.
All right. Micron's shares jumped 14% Thursday. This has been in range, you know, but trading about the same pace for about the past 2-3 years now. And they've had kind of a troublesome time. Micron's revenue slid 49% in its latest fiscal year. This was the worst annual decline since at least the 1980s. And that's actually as far back as the S&P Global Market Intelligence data goes. So it could be even longer than that. They also had a operating loss of $5.7 billion in fiscal 2023. This is the first time that it's lost that much money in more than a decade.
That's a big operating loss. I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but like that's a big, because their stock jumped. I didn't look into the numbers. I just saw the chart, and the stock jumped, and they had an operating loss.
Yeah, so the last revenue or the last quarterly report, the revenue growth turned positive. So people are kind of jumping on this right now, looking for a turnaround here, based on artificial intelligence, and they have a little bit to go off of when it comes to that. So I'll get to that here in a second. Latest results for the fiscal second quarter delivered more on that front as far as a turnaround goes. Revenue jumped 58% a year to $5.8 billion. They're projecting a 76% surge in revenue for this quarter. And both were beating Wall Street's projections pretty handily. Profitability also returned one quarter earlier than expected. Their adjusted operating income came in at $204 million. And that was compared with the $263 million loss that analysts had expected. AI systems being sold by NVIDIA and other chip makers are requiring, and the most popular ones at least, are requiring a specialized form of memory. This is called HBM. It's called high bandwidth memory. South Korea's SK Hynix, which we've covered on this show, I think about 2 years ago, this was a early adopter of this technology. They've been seeing a strong revenue boost from it. Micron announced last month it began production on its own HBM. This will be used in NVIDIA's latest H200 systems, the Blackwell system that NVIDIA announced earlier this week. And they plan to begin shipping late this year. Also uses 33% more HBM memory than its predecessors. So do you see this as a reason to jump on the stock, Dave?
Yes. The top line's going to – well, yes and no. So this tells me that the top line revenue is going to jump because I read the report on how NVIDIA's new Blackwell is going to work and the projected sales going forward. They already sold so much of their previous model, which I covered in detail. I spent 30 minutes on the show. I got to tell you guys which one that was, but I spent 30 minutes on the show really explaining in detail NVIDIA's chip model for the last one. Blackwell is the upgrade from that one. And NVIDIA has really touted this as the it's going to be even faster, even bigger, even better, and it's going to power AI so much quicker that everybody's going to have to buy it. Well, people, Meta and Google are still buying the old ones. So this new one is still being built. It's going to be out there. It's going to be for sale, and it's going to do tremendous. I think the sales are going to go higher. The problem with Micron, just because you have more revenue coming in, if you're poorly managed and you're not running efficiently, you still could have a net operating loss if you don't manage your money correctly.
Right.
So Micron has always had a PE ratio of somewhere between 3 and 5 for a number of years there. It just, no matter what the stock price is at, that's what their PE ratio was. It was hilarious. We cracked jokes about it on the show at one point. I don't know what their PE ratio is now, but my concern is that if you're growing your revenue and you're still having a net operating loss, like I'm just concerned about the, are you running your business efficiently and effectively?
Right.
It doesn't matter if I give you $1 billion, if you're still going to lose it.
So yeah, I agree. So last year's operating loss was pretty tough. This quarter's operating income was pretty good. Micron did say for this fiscal year, which will end by the way in August, 2025, this fiscal year's revenue will be record. So, and but in a better way. So we're coming off of a year where they had record losses this year, record revenue, they say. Wall Street is projecting revenue for them to surge 58% this year, 40% next year. They said HBM is arguably the strongest sector or secular driver in the industry has ever seen. We know this company is very secular, by the way. We've seen that. But Raymond James, an analyst from Raymond James, said that. So my question here, and this is what I want to know, because I'm kind of looking at the stock market, and I'm starting to see not just only in chips, not just only maybe possibly in Nvidia, that there's a possibility of a bubble regrowing in the market. I mean, initial public offerings, they remain rather subdued, other than Reddit's ridiculous showing, right, last week.
Man, did we get that call wrong?
Well, I mean, give it time. The SPAC market is down about 90%.
Man, did we get that call right?
Yeah, I got that incorrect or absolutely correct. However, so we had this situation where IPOs were going nowhere. Nobody was IPOing. Then Reddit comes along and a few others. Reddit goes off the hinges and just has an absolutely ridiculous performance. The SPAC market's down 90%, but now Webull is going public via SPAT. So it kind of seems to me that now that we have the estimation of 3 rate cuts for this year, some are willing to front this market by kind of turning the spending back on. And it's a little concerning to me.
All right, so you're worried that companies are spending ahead of what their actual revenue coming in. So it's like I'll give the example. Here's an analogy for our listeners here who may be new to investing in stocks and companies and all that. So let's say I know I have a big huge check coming in next month for $10,000 or something like that, one-time check. So I'm going to go ahead and take a loan out of it this month, and I'm going to spend it this month knowing I have that coming. And what your concern is, Brandon, is that $10,000 check I think I have coming is actually not going to be as good as it is, and
Right.
therefore I've just overspent myself and now I'm in debt.
Right.
And that's what you see
That's
for
my concern.
company wise as what the rate cuts is going to bring in, and you're seeing that as far as companies. So here's what I have to say. I have to say this to you. It's a company by company basis, right?
Yeah.
As far as if we're in a bubble as a whole, if you want me, you're asking for my opinion on making a judgment of whether or not we're in a bubble as a whole. No, because this has been mainly tied, the whole market rally has been mainly tied to the Magnificent Seven and to semiconductors. And those are the ones who have been the biggest beneficiaries of this bull run we've had so far this year. That and the cryptocurrency market. So you see these two groups that are getting the biggest funds in, and I believe rightfully so for Nvidia. Nvidia is actually showing numbers behind what they're doing. That's why that stock keeps going up to the moon, because they're saying, hey, yes, you were expecting we needed to beat our revenue by 50-60% in order to justify these numbers. We beat it by 80. That's what Nvidia is doing right now. So Nvidia is actually giving you numbers behind it. Some of these other companies, maybe not. Google took a hit because of some of their cloud business they lost some money on, but they're investing all this money in AI, and so they're saying, hey, we're going to continue to grow. They haven't seen the growth. Microsoft has steadied out around 400. Google has steadied out around 145 to 150. They've all steadied out. The only one who's continued gone up is Amazon. Tesla dropped. So do I see a bubble? No, I don't see a bubble, man. I see some dropping, some going, some staying flat, and I see the ones that are moving like a rocket, they actually have numbers behind it.
Okay, I'm going to get specifically into Nvidia, and I agree with you. There are numbers behind it, but I wonder if those numbers in itself are bubbles. I wonder if the sales are bubbles. I wonder if the sales that are being made to Nvidia, a little bit lofty, a little bit high expectations for what AI can do for these companies, and I wonder if that spending is going to slow down, maybe even substantially over the next couple of years.
So you're saying that not that it's a bubble, is that it's not sustainable.
Yeah, well, that's but it's kind of a demand bubble, is what I would call it. Maybe. But it's tricky, right? Because the sales are there. The sales are justifying it. The buying into NVIDIA, though they've more than tripled in the past year, has actually been rational.
Yes.
But has the demand for artificial intelligence been rational?
We don't know yet because we haven't seen it actually come to fruition, the uses.
Exactly.
Yes, they're still right now building the infrastructure and the hardware, and that's what they need the chips for. So it hasn't officially been put into actual commercial use in its full effectiveness.
Right. So I'm going to get a little bit more specific to NVIDIA here in a minute, but let me cover the entire chip sector, right now. And the PHLX, wow, Dave, I can't talk today. The PHLX index, this tracks the semiconductors, a little under 31 times forward earnings right now. That's 41% above its three-year average. The index hasn't supported a forward earnings multiple above 30 times since mid-2009. And the only reason it did it in mid-2009 is because earnings were crunched, sparked by the financial crisis. And that kind of spiked valuations because earnings went down, right? So that was the only reason why it was above 30 times then. Now we're back above 30 times. The chip index still supports a premium of 53% right now when compared to the S&P 500's multiple. So five of the most expensive names on these index, they carry multiples of 40 times earnings or above, and they're actually projected to see revenue declines this year. So lofty valuations for companies that are actually in revenue decline. This doesn't even include ARM, which isn't even a part of this index that closed at more than 80 times forward earnings. So ARM was 87 times forward earnings, and that's not even on the PHLX right now. So the chip sector right now seems, as a whole, pretty overvalued.
Disagree. And so there's some winners and some losers here. So loser, number one, dog with fleas. This is a complete dog with fleas, Intel. And so not only did they lose their government contracts that they were going to get to help build these plants, which is one of the reasons why I bought it a couple years ago, was because they got these deals. They lost those. Not only did they lose that, now China says that we are not going to have Intel on any of our chips inside any kind of government computers or government programs or anything government paid for. So China's blacklisted Intel like we blacklisted TikTok.
Yeah.
China's also blacklisted AMD. However, AMD is getting the government contracts, and AMD is actual creating sales, and they have the numbers behind their growth. So AMD is a winner. Supermicrocomputer, probably a little bit overblown. At this moment, last time I checked, it was at $800 a share. So I'm talking about $800 a share, probably a little bit overblown, but rightfully so. They have a good move. ARM, rightfully priced, right where it should be, not any higher right now. I don't see the numbers, the fundamental numbers, the microeconomics to justify it going any higher, unless there's some news out there that I'm missing. All right, so everything's right where it needs to be. There's numbers behind most everything. There are some dogs like Intel in the sector that deserve to go down. But there are winners with actual microeconomic fundamental reasons why they are priced where they're at.
Okay. So we're definitely going to have a business case for improving the way the user works with some of these biggest companies, Alphabet, Meta Platforms, Microsoft. All of that. This is AI is going to be money generating, obviously, in some way for them. And they're investing massively in chips. NVIDIA sales more than tripled in the fourth quarter alone of 2023 relative to the year earlier. This is why the stock's price to earnings ratio is at 79. And it actually appears to, on the surface, to not really be overvalued, even if you compare it to its spectacular sales. The explosive earnings growth driven by its AI system sales has actually made the stock's multiple a lot cheaper than its historical average. So, it doesn't appear on the surface to be a bubble. NVIDIA ended the session on Thursday around 35 times forward earnings. This ranked 10 on the 30 company SOX index in terms of valuation. So it's actually on the lower side of valuation for NVIDIA right now, which is crazy. But as I made the point earlier, we don't really understand yet the applicability of all of the new AI language models being presented to the market. I am concerned that while sales from companies like NVIDIA appear to rationalize the stock prices, the demand itself could actually be in a bubble. Once we figure out what's actually applicable to business, Dave, then this is kind of my point here. Demand for everything else AI related may dry up pretty quickly. What are your thoughts on that?
It may not. I don't know. I don't work at these companies. Yeah, I'm not behind the secret doors. I have no idea what's going on. So it may not. You know, I think if Google, these are very smart individuals, regardless of, you know, their intentions or anything behind it, these are very smart individuals who have come to the decision, we're going to invest billions and billions of billions of dollars across multiple companies into a new brand new sector, right? So, mm-hmm. You have to say they can't all be wrong. You can't have all these smart people in the room, all these government committees, and everybody who's looked into AI over the past few years. They can't all be wrong because, Brandon, if what you're saying is that there's a chance that, you know, this is not going to be as sustainable as what everybody's saying, well, that means they're all wrong. You can have maybe a quarter of them be wrong, but you can't have everybody, 100% of people be wrong. That's not logical.
No, but I don't think they're all making the same decisions behind closed doors. So I think different companies are using artificial intelligence for different things. I like how Microsoft's Copilot is working. I like Meta. So Meta, now, if you ask a question in a comment, this is one of the things that they're working on. If you ask a question in a comment, their artificial intelligence is going to come up and answer you or direct you to somebody else's post that possibly answers it. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Did you have that in your comment you made recently on Meta?
No, I haven't seen that happen yet. I was just listening on Morgan Stanley's technology conference, and they're also going to be using artificial intelligence to boost marketplace sales and add, of course, advertisements as well, ad revenue. But so yeah, I just the price of the AI stocks generally, even with NVIDIA more than tripling over the past 12 months when compared to sales, doesn't give the impression of irrational mania. But the sales and the demand and the scramble for these products may itself be a mania. And you said not everybody can be wrong. That's probably true, but half of them can be. And if, you know, they're making the wrong decisions, the wrong investments in artificial intelligence, half of the room can be wrong.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
So with this being relatively, I don't want to say it's a new industry. AI's been around for a long time, but it's a new boom in the industry for sure. There's almost little doubt that a lot of them are going to be wrong. There's little doubt to me that some of these companies that pop up, and I think there's going to be probably some competition to NVIDIA coming sooner than we expect because of all the money that this is generating. There's going to be companies popping up here left and right, and not all of them are going to exist in 10 years.
100%, not all of them are going to exist in 10 years. We've seen this time and time again. We saw it with the marijuana companies. We saw it with the space companies. We're going to see it with some of these AI companies. Everybody's got an AI this, AI that. Everything's like .AI. I've joked around. You're going to have a chinchilla picking crypto coin .AI. You know, it's everywhere, right?
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to actually bring up the space sector too, but unlike the space sector, you know, other than the government, jobs and government, contracts and stuff, unlike the space tourism sector, let me put it like this, there's actually a market here. We're not trying to front run anything. We're not trying to dream up anything. We're not watching Star Trek and pretending that something exists when it doesn't exist. The market for artificial intelligence is very, very, very strong right now. The question is it going to be as strong as it is right now? And is it going to be the same, you know, that we're expecting it to be? Because if there's a shift here, then a lot of these companies are going to have trouble in the market. And here, I want to invite anybody, and Dave, I'm going to get to you in a second. Anybody that knows more about artificial intelligence and the market applicability more than me and Dave do, please, we invite you to be on the show and talk about the economics of this, because this is a tricky thing. If you're looking at the sales, not a bubble, but is it possible that not all of these language models are going to be really applicable to business? Go ahead, Dave.
First of all, point number one, I don't appreciate the slap to the space sector. Number one, it's very applicable. It's not dreaming up stuff. They actually have real things that they can do that SpaceX is trying to do, that Blue Origins is trying to do, that all these other companies are trying to do that actually can have a real effect on human life. All right.
Space tourism. I said space tourism, and the market doesn't exist yet. They're making it, and it exists
because we want that growth out there in space to explore and find new minerals, new substances, new places to live, all that stuff. It will exist. That's number one. And then I forget what we were talking about. Now I got so hooked on that. I forget what your other points were. See, you talk too long.
Well, the artificial intelligence market grew.
Yes, artificial intelligence market. So as we build more humanoid robots, Boston Dynamics, Tesla, all these other companies, go online, start Googling this. I challenge everybody, start Googling these things, right? You go online, you look at them, you watch them do these movements. You say it's very crude. You know, they're not very put together. But I'm like, yeah, go online to Boston Dynamics. They have a video where they show where they're at in 2012. Then where they were in 2015, then where they were in 2018, and you see the growth in the market from where we're at now today. These humanoid robots are becoming more and more closer to actually becoming replacing workers in buildings very, very, very soon. It is growing faster than what we can realize, and when you combine that with AI. Now you have a huge market applicability, if you to use your term, Brandon, for this to move, and that with the autonomous vehicle market as well. You have AI going in there as well. You have lots of uses for AI just in those two sectors I just covered. Not to mention every other sector of the economy. I mean, I could talk about anything and bring you AI into it.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, about the artificial intelligence market and the way that it's grown, they're meeting demands organically that already existed. So these are things that people already wanted that are finally coming about. Whereas I don't think really too many people demanded to visit Mars or the moon. I mean, it might, you know, we might have thought that's a pretty cool thing to do, but
you'd be surprised, man. They asked for people who wants to sign up to take a one-way trip to Mars so that you can start terraforming Mars, right? It's a one-way trip. You land there with a few pods, and you have to live off these pods for the rest of your life. There's no trip back, right?
Yeah.
And within the first month, they had over 300,000 highly educated scientists, and everybody apply for that.
Okay. Well, still,
so, there are plenty of people wanting to do it.
So, but let me just make the point that it was a organically growing demand for the artificial intelligence and the products that are currently being offered. So in that way, also, you would look at it and say, possibly not a bubble. And much different than how the space exploration stocks took off a couple of years ago when there were no sales. Let me put it this way. There were no sales to support those stock prices.
They were way overvalued, and they took loans out based on those overvaluations, and it got them all in trouble.
Yeah. Now, Kathy Woods just penned a shareholder letter, and it caught my eye because she called NVIDIA a bubble. And the reason it caught my eye, number one, is when Kathy Woods calls anything a bubble, I start to think to myself, well, man, that must be a pretty big bubble because she usually doesn't do that. However, Kathy Woods also sold NVIDIA before its recent run, and there's a good possibility that she is just defending her position on selling that stock and trying not to pull face on this. So I will go through the three points that she made here. She made that NVIDIA is facing unprecedented demand. The chip and data center business is experiencing unprecedented demand, is what she said, driven by hefty investments in artificial intelligence, the prospects of generative AI, including large language models that have fueled the surge. She then drew parallels with a company called Cisco. She's drawn this cautionary comparison that NVIDIA could be the next Cisco. Cisco, during the early days of the internet in the 1990s, was enjoying huge sales, had a huge moment in the spotlight with its routers and computer hardware sales. It, at one point, was the most valuable company in the world. Investors had poured into this stock. However, today, Cisco doesn't even rank among the top 50 most valuable companies by market cap. So she was suggesting here that rising competition could spell trouble for NVIDIA and echo the Cisco experience. Do you want to make any points on that, what she said there, before I move to the third thing?
No, she makes points that these things could happen, yes. And I agree, those things could happen, yes.
Okay. So here's the part that does say possible frenzy, because this is a wild stat to me. NVIDIA's stock added $1 trillion of market cap in less than 2 months. Wow.
That's a lot of money flowing into that stock.
Yeah. So she was saying that this indicates investors can't get enough of it. She's warning that this could be a reminder that even high-flying tech giants can face challenges.
All right, so Kathy Wood, not Woods, by the way, first off, Kathy Wood has gotten a lot of things right when she started her ARK Innovation ETF or fund, as it was. She had a lot of things right for a while. We sang her praises, well, I did, on the show, and then all of a sudden, she was reluctant to sell, and everything turned bad and sour, and she just held everything all the way down. ARK Innovation Fund has never gone back up to that same high it was. So she has gotten things right in her time. She's gotten things wrong in her time. Some of those companies, yeah, I wouldn't have sold some of them either. But others I would have sold and got out of and moved on from my position, took my losses, take my L's. So Kathy Wood, you know, she's very smart and she has a good company that she runs, and she usually makes a profit. Okay. So I give her credit where credit's due. I don't think NVIDIA is a bubble or a semiconductor at all.
And she doesn't just have the ARK Innovation Fund, which is what she's most well known for. That's not the only ARK fund. There's other ARK funds out there that cover other industries and other sectors of stocks and such. But a lot of the stuff she got right with the ARK Innovation Fund, she got right in a period where nothing was going wrong for almost anybody. So that was and that's always been kind of my number one criticism of her, that yeah, when her stocks were soaring high, kind of everything was. And a lot of her stocks that did go high didn't really deserve to go as high as they went. And that's the reason why they came back down to earth, and the ARK Innovation Fund has been underperforming since the Federal Reserve rose interest rates. And by the way, she seems to blame the underperformance of that fund on the Federal Reserve.
Well, a lot of people blame a lot of stuff on the Federal Reserve. I mean, SVB, they blamed it on a Signature Bank. They blamed that on the Federal Reserve, and it was actually just their poor investment strategies because they didn't hire experienced investment managers and portfolio managers. Instead, they threw parties, and that was the problem with that bank.
Yeah, and unlike previous Federal Reserve chairman, Jerome Powell telegraphed these moves like a year in advance. We all knew they were coming, and we all knew exactly how much he was going to raise by. The market was not caught off guard by this.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was if you missed it, then you're just not a savvy investor, or and you shouldn't have been running a company or running a fund.
Yeah, we were telling you exactly what was going to happen a year before it happened on this show. So
there you go. All right, so no buy, no calls, no calls, no sales, no nothing from all that news, but great news and great insight. I appreciate it every single week.
Thank you. So, I mean, you can take it. I just want people to understand where we're at in the market. I kind of always do at least every once in a while, a review of where the market currently is so that you can know where it is economically and you can make better rational decisions. And if you've got NVIDIA and you decide to sell it based off of what I just said, then that's fine.
I mean, maybe at its height, it may be time to sell. It also may be time for NVIDIA to do a possible stock split. I mean, that's news I've heard as well.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I want to say this too. Let me make this point. Meta in their technology conference, they were asked, what inning are we in artificial intelligence? And if there's one question that I could kill off forever, it's what inning are we in? And you're asking somebody like a CFO or a COO or somebody that's a part of a company, nobody's ever going to say, oh, this is the ninth inning and it's the last out. Everybody sell every stock you owned and pack up your bags and go home. Nobody's ever going to say that. It's always going to be, we're just in the third inning or we're just in the first inning. That's always going to be the answer to your question.
Yeah, 100%, I agree. And that's their job.
Yeah.
Right. That's their job. Because when you're at a C-suite, usually you're getting compensated by stocks and not by pay.
Yeah. Could you imagine a CEO saying that? I think the game's over, guys. Just sell everything, pack it up, go home. This is as good as it gets.
Nice. All right. Well, going on to something else where people have said some crazy stuff. Stock tweets. I got three stock tweets and stock tweets. Boom, we need to have music for this section. I mean, someone can make some music as we go into like funny stock twits from this week. This one was about Ripple. This person, their name's kind of funny too. The Mush 007. Anyways, the Mush 007 writes, never a bad time to short this. I agree. Even though I owned it at one point, I sold it, got out.
What are you talking? What stock?
It was about Ripple, the cryptocurrency.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Moving on to Shiba Inu, another cryptocurrency. This is what someone NCGC _trader said. Sunday never fails to fail. I like that one. But the best comment of the week that I saw was from Emery 2016. And Emery 2016 wrote, Shiba is the functioning alcoholic of the crypto space. Nice. So if you're not on stock twits, get on stock twits. Brandon is the one who makes our comments for chinchilla picking on stock twits. So if you see a chinchilla picking logo and some comments, that is Brandon making those. He usually is out there trying to get on those Reddit users that are on stock twits and call them all sorts of names.
Yeah. I make the stock twits comments. So, sorry about that.
Right. Apologize. All right. So moving on, talking about cryptocurrencies, I got some crypto news, going on. So I want to talk about this first before I get into all these other, information and things I have going on. First thing, with Bitcoin having coming up, all the big major cryptocurrency companies such as Riot Platforms, which is one of the top five, believe it or not, that's a company that I've mentioned many times on here. I've day traded Riot Platforms. I screen traded Riot Platforms before. I've made some money off of Riot Platforms before. But CleanSpark, it's another one. Marathon Digital, that's another one. All these big companies, they're doing something with their equipment. Right? What are they doing with their equipment? So with Bitcoin halving, that means that you're going to get less Bitcoin for every one that you mine, quote unquote, anymore. So it's going to be less economically sound to keep using these old outdated machines to mine with. So these older machines, they're trying to change them out and get new ones. Riot Platforms spent over $1 billion recently just trying to go ahead and get new machines that are updated, that can run faster, that can move faster, that have these newer chips in them from the semiconductors. You got $1 billion right there from Riot Platforms for new semiconductors. They could do this at a lower cost. But what are we doing with these older machines? Well, these older machines, Brandon, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, they're going to countries like Ethiopia or down to Uruguay. Why, you may ask? In Ethiopia, the cost of electricity is cheaper, much cheaper, and that using these machines makes sense to use them and run factories in Ethiopia. Ethiopia has grown in size in crypto mining because of the fact that you can run these machines, these older machines from the United States that the companies are getting rid of in Ethiopia and still be profitable even after the Bitcoin halving event. That's, they're now expecting it to happen next month. So there's a whole movement of these machines. There's a company out there that is actually holding these machines and getting ready to get rid of them. So it's a wholesaler, Sunnyside Digital. They're taking in equipment from all these mining clients and they're moving them back out, right? That's one of the things they're doing. But Marathon Digital, Riot Platforms, they're trying to the new machines to lower costs. I've already covered this a number of times, right? Ethiopia has now jumped to number 4 on the list of Bitcoin mining growth markets, number 4th in the world. Number 1 is United States, number 2 is Hong Kong, number 3 they just put Asia in altogether. It says excluding Hong Kong, Indonesia, and Malaysia, but Asia is one group, and right below Asia, which includes China, is Ethiopia, and barely right below them too. So Ethiopia is really having a surge of Bitcoin miners coming in there. Now you're probably saying, okay, what does this have to do with me, David? I can't afford to open up Bitcoin miners. I don't have $1 billion to buy machines and purchase this to go ahead and mine Bitcoin. Well, you know, one thing you want to keep in mind is if all these companies are spending this much money to reinvest into their companies because of the Bitcoin halving event that's going to come up, it's probably a big event and it's probably going to be a big opportunity for you to make some money, right? And where are you going to invest that money? You could just say Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin's a great investment. I said, what is it, like last show or just show before? I believe it was recently. I said Bitcoin is going to, it may even have been a month ago. Bitcoin is going to end up higher than where it's at now because we haven't even hit the halving event yet and it's already moving. Oh, no, that's when it was at $45,000 a coin. And now it's at 60. It went up to 74 and now it's back down to 63. I think Bitcoin's still going to continue to go higher, especially after the halving event, because there's so few coins out there. More people are using them on a daily basis. This is going to be a hot commodity. The price of that goes up. As that goes up, it brings up a lot of other coins coming up. Like you see Solana, you see Ethereum, you see Dogecoin or the Shiba Inu coin, that's on the move up. So there's a lot of other coins up there. You have to be very specific with which coins you're looking at, what coins you're buying. I'll be happy to sit down with anybody and give them my thoughts. I do have some plays. I'm going to put some money to work this week. So I don't want to tip my hand just yet, but I am going to be putting money to work buying some coins up now. However, I say that with this caveat. I expect some more downside in the next 1 to 2 months in the cryptocurrency world. But by the end of the year, I expect a positive gain. And so I do expect some downside. Since you can't call a bottom, I'm just going to buy it on its way down in pieces and hope that I get a good price so that I make the most money I can for the end of the year. I'm going to take a break right here, Brandon. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, that's the way to do it if you're going to buy anything. You know, once you assume or think that it's undervalued, then you know, you just start putting money into it. And eventually, if you are correct, then you're going to reap the rewards of it. You know, as you know, I don't really have too much as far as cryptocurrency goes. But I can tell you this right now. It's interesting that Ethiopia is on this list because they've had unprecedented economic growth over the past 10 to 15 years, averaging around 10% a year. And we tend to ignore countries for some reason that are south of the equator, but I think pretty soon there's going to be a few countries from Africa, like Ethiopia, that are going to start catching our attention, and I think Argentina is kind of on that path too from South America. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, and Ethiopia, you know, like I said, is what is the world's oldest, longest country that's maintained its national name and land over time.
Yeah,
I think
it's
it is
interesting that a lot of these countries that adopt cryptocurrency and start using them, they're countries and people in those countries that have experienced debasement of their currencies like nobody else has ever experienced before.
Right. I mean, yeah, you have that as well. So, look, I And that's how the whole Bitcoin boom started, was with the Cypress. I've gone into it many, many times, the downfall of the banks of Cypress, and everybody started buying Bitcoin out of Cypress, and it just shot the price up. Then everybody falls suit, and the computers in fall suit, and it just shot the price up. Anyways, yes, I see that happening. I see a lot of countries, a lot of people getting fed up with their governments and moving into cryptocurrency. So having some crypto exposure, I think, is a good thing nowadays. I look at it like a bond exposure or something other. It's as a diversification, if you will, of your portfolio at this point. I still don't think it should be equal weight. I think it should be underweight of your portfolio. And that's from someone who has traded cryptocurrency now for a number of years. I still say underweight, not equal weight or overweight. Don't put all your portfolio on that. No, maintain equities and, you know, even some bonds if you want to. But I'm looking at this. I see a lot of opportunity here. I see a lot of opportunity at the year end. But I do see that the downside in the short term, but a major, major upside in the long term, especially after the halving event. There's always been, every single time a Bitcoin halving event has happened, Bitcoin price has shot up. Yep. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking to make some money off of that. I'm not going to be making some purchases this week. If you do want to know, right after I make those purchases, what I bought, you're going to have to DM us on Chinchilla Picking on Instagram or on Threads or on Stock Twits. You're going to have to find us out, and you're going to have to DM us and ask us questions. That's the only way I'm going to tell you. So if you want to hear it, that's the way you're going to hear it. Other than that, let's get into some articles here, Brandon. You ready? You've got some time, right?
Yep.
All right. Oh, sorry. The one last thing I wanted to put about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. Sorry, not Bitcoin. Two things about cryptocurrency. First off, Peter Schiff criticizes CNBC as a paid Bitcoin promoter and predicts an even bigger crash ahead. This was written by Kayathi Dalal. They're conveying Peter Schiff's allegations against CNBC for favoring Bitcoin, coupling with this his prediction of imminent, more drastic downturn in the crypto sector.
Whether he's right or wrong on this, it's sad because I used to have such respect for cryptocurrency, but he's become such a gold, or not for cryptocurrency, but for Peter Schiff. Wow. I've had such respect for him in the past, but he's become such a gold shill and just a self-promoter. And that's essentially what he is now. He's just a self-promoter. He's not really an economist anymore. There's no there's no bias, unbiased nature to him. Everything that he says seems to be completely 100% biased, and it's all about selling what he has to sell. And it's sad.
It is sad when someone does that, and it's obvious to everyone. The other thing I want to read here, it says Shiba Inu. That's a cryptocurrency. If you don't know, the Shiba Inu interest hits a 2-year high on Google. And it's under this caption, top 10 countries, the most searches for Dogecoin rival by Chris Catchy. It's an article written by them. Highlights a surge in global interest for Shiba Inu as Google searches reaches a 2-year high, underscoring its growing popularity against Dogecoin in 10 leading countries. So Shiba Inu is on pace to go ahead and oust Dogecoin. If you bought it now and they actually did surpass Dogecoin, you would make a ton of money. If you put $1,000 in now, when it surpassed Dogecoin, you would have something like about $150,000 if it actually did it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it will or not, I don't know. But it's going to be a big return if it does. So risky, high risk, high reward, high chance of losing all your money. That's basically it. First headline, Brandon. China is told it faces a fork in the road as officials meet CEOs. This is written by Colleen Hao and Jing Yu by Reuters. It came out this morning at 6:48 a.m. Basically, this article goes in and it said China is at a fork in the road. It's talking about different things that China has going on. Some of the call-outs in this article, and I like some of these, but it's from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. So they went on to criticize China, saying those commitments stop short of more sweeping changes urged by the IMF. Georgieva said an analyst by the IMF showed a more consumer-centric policy mix could add $3.5 trillion to China's economy over the next 15 years. If achieved, that would boost the That boost would be the equivalent to adding the output equivalent to more than twice the size of South Korea's economy. But to do that, they say that China has to take decisive steps to complete unfinished housing stranded by the bankrupt developers that continue to hound China's economy. And they wanted to do it and reduce local government debts in regards to that. And they want to use government money to do that. And that's what they're saying they should do. I don't like that response.
Me either.
You have,
Me either.
Yeah, you never want to go ahead and use government money to finish projects of a failed developer that they couldn't finish themselves. If it failed, it failed. I mean, we've seen this unfortunately a lot in China. We have that little island they built the city on that everybody left that would they shoot movies on now, off of China. So there's lots of times that this has happened over there in Asia. I don't think that's the best way to do it. There's a disagreements between the International Monetary Fund and China on what they need to do, but China has continued to maintain a stance that they want to set the growth at 5% this year for GDP. President Xi Jinping has dubbed new productive forces in order to go ahead and make this happen. What they're trying to do is they're trying to go ahead and bring in foreign investments because foreign investment flows have shrank by nearly 20% the first 2 months of this year alone as people try to de-risk supply chains and build their own manufacturing plants in their own countries instead of having it all consolidated in China. Well, this is hurting China's economy. A couple weeks ago, I talked about how that China has more people graduating college this year than they have jobs available on the market. And that's a problem. China needs to go ahead and find a way to kickstart their economy and get these jobs out there and get everything growing. IMF thinks that by investing in real estate, that would be one way to do it. Not the best way in my mind. However, one CEO, major CEO, who's saying China is a great place to do business still is Tim Cook of Apple. He has come on and he had a great meeting behind closed doors with China's premier Li Qiang. And he told that the state broadcaster there that it was an outstanding meeting and they were going to go ahead and continue pushing Apple Vision Pro into China. And he says that, I quote unquote, I think China is really opening up. That's what Cook has said after his meeting. Thoughts, Brandon?
Well, there's nothing like a good recession to force change. And hopefully that's what this is. Hopefully this is good change that comes out of it. Hopefully they amend the foreign investment law to allow shareholders to buy direct shares rather than ADRs from Shanghai or Beijing, whichever stock market they choose to do that with, or both. That would be amazing. As far as what you first said, as far as directing the resources towards these the construction and housing developments and stuff, essentially, let me translate that for you into real terms. What that means is, hey guys, let's go ahead and direct a bunch of resources to things that nobody ever wanted. That's essentially
Right.
what that is. So hopefully they don't do that because that's a bad idea. If they can change the laws that really keep foreign investment out of their company, out of their country, that'd be great, especially a foreign investment law, which was put into place to supposedly protect foreign investors, but you're still not allowed to buy shares directly from those companies. They have to create these shadow organizations from like the Cayman Islands and then sell stocks of those, of these holding companies. So, if those things can change and we can buy direct to Alibaba, Meituan, or Didi, well, it's not Didi anymore. Didi doesn't exist, does it? That's gone. But you know what I mean. If we can buy these companies direct, that would be great. And a lot more foreign money would come to their country.
Yes and no. And I think China's just losing the investment because a lot of countries in the world are tired. Developed countries are tired of having manufacturing plants all be in China and losing that direct supply chain. So I do believe that some of this de-risking and foreign investment is permanent. And in other, some of it can come back if, like you said, if China changes the rules.
Yeah. Which they tend to do. It's always kind of one step forward, two steps back for them, it seems like.
Right. So, one last little thing here. Evergrande, that's the biggest realtor bust, I would say, that happened in China. That's part of these development projects that went nowhere and quit. Everybody quit building because they're building more buildings than there was people to actually work in them, live in them. But Evergrande liquidators, that's the group of people that are getting rid of all these assets and trying to find companies or people that will take them and use them. Said the company filed documents with a U.S. court on Friday to withdraw Chapter 15 bankruptcy protection. The Chinese property company said the filing to the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Evergrande liquidators said they'll make a new application under Chapter 15 to Title 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code if necessary and appropriate, the filing said. So they withdrew the bankruptcy filings. So I don't know if that's a hint that China is going to backstop what's left of Evergrande. Is there anything left of it, or has it all been diced up and sold off already? I don't know, but yeah, that was a big, huge deal back in the day.
Wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. A
couple of years ago.
It wasn't, because it was actually, I think, just less than a year ago that it happened so fast, and
Yeah.
everybody was talking about how it was gonna, you know, domino effect and come down to the other economies, U.S. economy, Europe economy, and bring us down with it. But they did the math and they said that at most, the worst case scenario was just a couple $1 billion loss, and the U.S. economy was able to withstand that. And it ended up not even being that much. So
Right.
everybody was fine with letting Evergrande fall like it did. All right, final thoughts, Brandon.
Be careful in chips and semiconductors, as I mentioned, it may be a bubble right now. Actually, the chip sector to me does seem like a bubble as a whole. Nvidia, I wouldn't touch, but you know, if you want to sell it, that's up to you. I have, what are you doing with that pen on camera right now?
I'm trying to mess with Brandon as he's talking to see if I can make him break, but I can't. You know, the semiconductors, I like them. I think the numbers are backing them up. Some of them, not all of them. Intel's a dog. You know, Nvidia's still showing the numbers. So until they show me something else, I don't think it's a bubble. Now, is it sustainable over time, like eternity of time? No. They got to find new things, and hopefully with Nvidia, with the money they have coming in, they could innovate and create and find new things. So the leadership they have there is good. I like their leadership.
Yeah, definitely. It's still a founder-led company.
Yeah, see, and so Micron, do I have faith in Micron's leadership? No.
Yeah, no, me
Do they
either.
have more revenue coming in? Yes. Can they take that new revenue coming in and make the company be profitable? They can. Will they? I'm cautiously doubtful.
Yeah, me too.
That's how I'll put it. I'm watching, but I'm not buying. So there you go. My final thoughts. Again, if you want to know what I'll be buying this week right after I buy it on cryptocurrency, you have to DM us. You have to follow me on Instagram and DM me if you want the information. Or you got to follow us on StockTwits and Brandon and DM him and bug him so that he'll get to me and I'll tell you what it is. We're also on Threads. We need to get on Twitter or X at some point, and Facebook at some point. So if you're smart with IT, you know, I'll tell you what it is. You could come on here and help us figure out some of our IT issues we're having currently with these issues.
Yeah, and then talk about NVIDIA and what you think about artificial intelligence if you want to come on the
Right?
show.
Yeah, you could come on the show. We'll bring you on. Have our thousands of listeners, our millions of listeners. Joe Rogan, watch out. Our millions of listeners listen to the show. All right. So we hope you've enjoyed the show. If so, please subscribe and hit that follow button. As always, we hope we have been entertaining, educational, and uplifting, because we want everyone to make money. Have a good night.
Have a good night.